And welcome to Courage Cocktail Radio Show. I'm your host, Leanne McClymont. Glad you could join us today. We are sitting in studios here at WCOM LPFM in Chapel Hill Harbor, North Carolina, on a beautiful, if a little cool day. Well, this week, I'm toying with the idea of naming the brew, affectionately, Dry Bottom Baby. Here's the backstory. Over the past 2 months, Courage Cocktail has been traveling on site in research and has been reporting back to you, our listener, on what we see and, most importantly, on what we hear. We want to bring you along for the ride, and it's working. So this past Saturday, we went on site and produced an audio tour at the headquarters of the North Carolina Diaper Bank, based in Durham, North Carolina, with Michelle Old, founder and CEO. Welcome to the studio, Michelle.
Thank you.
It's so nice that you could join us. I wanted the listener to have a clue on what's going to happen. In the first half of the show, we are going to be playing six sound clips to help you build out the visit of your on-site operation. We're going to play some tracks. We're going to ask Michelle to comment. And the second half of the show, then we'll go behind to the mechanics of their organization and how that organization is advocating for healthy families throughout the state of North Carolina. Listener, I want to prepare you. Throughout the course of our tour, you are going to hear volunteers talking, laughing, and some music. And also, if you hang on to track number 6, you will hear the voice of our curious assistant who lends her questions to this week's brew. Are you ready? Let's start with this. You heard the doors opening to the on-site headquarters at the North Carolina Diaper Bank, and I begged Michelle, open up those doors. Of course, little did I know they were manual, and she had to go unlock them and stretch up and open them. Michelle, your organization opens doors to so many families, to so many volunteers, and also to so many services. So, how about if we do this? Let me cue up the next track. It's a 9-minute track, listener. And you're going to hear some students. You're going to hear Michelle's voice welcome us. And from after that clip, we'll go back and learn a little bit more from you. How's that feel?
That sounds great.
Okie doke. Let's go.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Thank you for coming. I really appreciate it.
There's a lot of activity going on today.
What's happening? So we have a group here from Duke, and they're going to come and help wrap diapers and get them prepared to go out in the community.
Wrapping diapers. Wow, I didn't know you needed to have a college degree for that.
No, you don't. All ages are welcome, and the littlest schooler can help us wrap diapers. So.
Are we ready?
We're ready.
Awesome. Okay. Let's get in here. It's a little colder out here, but you'll warm up, I promise.
Oh.
Okay. And we were in the church then. It's a much bigger space because we are growing a lot. And who has not heard about the diaper bank before? When did you all come? Remind me. I've had a lot of groups, and it's lovely.
I think it was late October.
Okay, great. So we just moved into this space in December. We are now distributing 60,000 diapers a month. And I don't know if we had talked before, but we are now statewide. So we have partnered with Wake Forest University and Melissa Harris Perry. Are you familiar with her? She is the head of the Pro Humanitati Institute and also the Anna Julia Cooper Center. And she has made it possible for us to have a whole branch on campus at Wake Forest University. So we are just honored to be working with her. And then we opened up a branch in the Lower Cape Fear, so Wilmington area, and we distribute about 3,000 diapers a month from there. We distribute diapers through organizations working with families. And the main reason why we do that is we feel very strongly that if families are struggling for diapers, then they're struggling with other needs. And we want Healthy Families Durham is a home visiting program to deter child abuse. And now they come to the visits with diapers, and it's increased visits for them. So we're really seeing that diapers are a gateway to other services, which is pretty powerful. I started the diaper bank in 2013. The goal was to provide 50,000 diapers. Our first year, we did 209,000. Our second year, which was in June, we did over 500,000, and we're now on target to do over 1 million diapers this year. We felt very strongly also that if mothers could not afford diapers, then they could not afford to take care of themselves. So we started a new program called Helping Moms Helps Babies, where we provide feminine hygiene products to women in our community. Once we started that program, we started getting a lot of calls from middle and high school teachers saying that they have girls missing school all the time because they don't have what they need, and they don't want to be having an accident at school and be embarrassed. So we are trying to work with a local public school to provide feminine hygiene products in their middle and high school. So wish us luck with that. Let me see. So we repackaged our diapers, which we're going to be doing today. I think we're going to work on size 5s. Newborns through size 5, we rewrap in packs of 25, and we give out 2 packs per child per month. So how many a day is that?
50. Oh my God. It's like maybe less than 2.
1.6 diapers a day is what we're providing. It's not a lot. What we're trying to do is we're trying to supplement the need and fill a gap. There was a study done from Huggies that looked at maternal stress and depression and diaper need. And what they found was that 12 more diapers a week help them feel less stress and anxiety. So we are filling that gap of 12 more diapers a week. Unfortunately, it would be impossible for us to provide every single diaper for every single child in need. That is just how great the need is. So we're just doing our best and trying to fill in a gap. So we'll be repackaging the diapers that look like this. Okay. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to pull packages of 5s, and I'm going to have you help me do that. We'll create kind of a train doing that. And then we'll start wrapping. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Does anybody have any questions? I tend to talk a lot and fast when I start this group.
Hey, you're doing a bad job.
Oh, this is a big box.
Little movers.
Oh, dear. You say little movers.
Oh, no, maybe on the box. It's cute.
So now, I think we're done for getting those. And so let me go grab a label, and I'll show you how to wrap. So we're going to wrap packs of 25. Basically, it is 2 stacks of 12 and 1 on top. The reason why we don't just do 13 and 12 is when you have a whole bunch of stacks, you can't tell which is 13 and which is 12. So this is just saying to us that this is a pack that's ready to be wrapped. And so you're going to have folks that are going to be wrapping. You're going to have those that are going to be counting and preparing them. And then you'll have someone floating around taking the wrapped diapers, making a little spot on the floor of those, and then taking the extra plastic and the cardboard and disposing of that. And it becomes this really great system. Who remembers doing it, right? I say wrapping diapers makes you happy, and no one's proved me wrong yet. So did you have a good time last time?
Did.
Okay, good. All right, so you pull the plastic a little bit longer than the table, and then you put your diapers to where it's closing on the side and opening on the side. Not like that. Does that make sense? So when you're pushing them together, it has a tight fit because it's pushing against the other. You hold with one hand and you pull the plastic to where it's curling the diapers, and then you flip and then you swipe. And then again, you pull the plastic a little bit longer than the table, and you take, we're doing size fives, you put the label upside down, and now we're just closing in those open ends. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. And so then you're just going to make a pile right here, and then we'll count how many bottoms you covered at the end. Sound good? So decide who's going to wrap, and who's going to count, and...
I like to wrap.
I like to wrap.
I like to count.
Okay.
Are you
wrapping
them?
Can
I move
one
of these?
Can you see what she was doing there?
Yeah,
you're fine.
Yeah, how's it going for guys?
No, because this, it won't pick up the sound if I'm not close.
And then you can prepare the diapers over there. Okay. Right? Does that sound good?
Yeah, yeah.
And then
so
we have like a delivery.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's squeaky.
Are these so fine?
Yikes.
And just so you know, there's more fives around the corner. You're going to dispose of your plastic.
You're getting the sense of this, aren't you? Can you imagine the granular level of detail I've taken you through? Well, we had a perfect teacher. I have to tell you, Michelle, the way you managed that crowd, there were about, what, 9 students from Duke?
That's right.
And they were all there, ready to like work. They'd been there before. And I wanted our listener to get a sense of, you know, this is really basic things. We're talking about granular level of detail, counting diapers. We're talking about a fire squad, so to speak, of these great big boxes that you lug out of your storage facility. And what surprised me the most was how happy. You said something. It was there. It was like, I guarantee you, wrapping diapers makes you happy.
It does. It's very tangible for the volunteers, and it's something that they are very proud of at the end, and they count how many diapers and bottoms they covered, and then they come back again, and they try to beat that number. So it's a lot of fun.
I wonder a little bit if we could just ask a simple question before we go into the much shorter tracks now coming down the queue. But you described this healthy moms help babies?
Helps babies. Right.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, we just felt very strongly that if mothers were struggling to buy diapers, then they were struggling for other basic needs. And with WIC and food stamps not helping you cover hygiene products or cleaning supplies, we really felt strongly that we needed to support the mothers that were trying to support their babies. And so we started the project, but we were very hesitant at first in the rollout, because when you talk about babies in poverty, people get that and they want to help. But at times when you talk about adults in poverty, and especially women, there is a lot of shaming that goes on. But this community got it. And they rallied around this issue and have just generously donated thousands of pads and tampons that we've been able to get out to mothers. But along with that, we started getting phone calls from middle and high school teachers telling us about the struggles that young girls were experiencing and how they would miss school because they didn't want to have an accident at school or be embarrassed. So we started talking to public schools about what could we do to help address this issue. And so we're hoping that that'll be something we can roll out soon.
And we're going to revisit this in other soundtracks about all the kinds of products that actually your organization and the support that your organization is giving. But the next track I want to cue up, which has the interesting story of your kind of casual mention of a theft and then new space. And we actually feature talking about the gift of this space. Let's play this track and then we'll comment on it later.
So this is a new space for us. After our theft, the gentleman that owns this building said to us we needed a loading dock and we needed a place to store a lot of diapers very quickly. And so we put a call out into the community for a warehouse space. And the gentleman that owns this building immediately, like I think I pressed send and my phone started ringing. His name is Reed Frankel, and he's now on our board. But he then for over a year has stored our diapers here and allowed us to get shipments of diapers here. And had noticed that I was going back and forth about 15 to 20 times a week, loading up my minivan with diapers and then taking them to the space where we were distributing them, which was also a donated space. And he approached me and just said, you know, why don't we look into you coming under our roof? And so it's truly a gift. He pays the electricity. He built the wall. He allows us to get shipments of diapers. And we have to have a loading dock. It's part of our contract. And so he has really gifted all of that to us. And he has a forklift. He has pallet jacks. And he has a cardboard baler that I have a crush on because I was escorting so much cardboard to recycling center. And so now everything is done internally. And it's made our life so much easier. And it's actually allowed us to increase distribution, so we're covering even more bottoms because we're not spending so much time going back and forth and doing all of that work. So we've increased volunteers, we've increased our distribution, and it's all because of the generosity of one person.
It's all because of the generosity of one person. I have to ask you, so tell me about this cardboard baler machine that you're crushing on.
I do. I took a selfie with it. My husband's a little jealous. It's bright red. It's amazing. But
so what reveals the storyline is this. There are all kinds of details. There are contracts. You actually need a loading dock to receive certain amounts of diapers.
That's right.
You need pallets. You need the mechanics. This is almost a military logistical, I wouldn't say nightmare, but it's certainly a big operation.
Much more than I considered when I loaded up my minivan with diapers the first time. I didn't consider all the ins and outs to making a diaper bank successful.
Well, as we travel on through this tour, there's a next track. And yes, it's a little bit more. We're going to talk about the second floor visit, which is in your facility, where I saw our doorway and I asked you, what's that? Listen to this.
I have additional storage upstairs. I'll take you there.
How much space is this?
Well, the warehouse is pretty big because they do other business here.
Yeah.
But our space is about 23,000 square feet that we're utilizing.
We're up to the second floor here now at the Diaper Bank, North Carolina Diaper Bank, with Michelle Old on tour. There's more diapers.
Wow.
What?
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
Now, diapers don't have an expiration date, do they?
That's right. So that's why you don't typically see diaper companies and stores donate diapers, because they can stay on the shelves as long as they need to. But Huggies has made a real focus on trying to cover bottoms in the community, and so we're really grateful for Huggies and also Domtar Cares for recognizing the need and trying to help and pitch in.
And the other thing that you said, which I didn't realize, is that you are not trying to fulfill all the need, but to offset the shortage.
That's right. It would be absolutely impossible to fill the entire need of our community. So what we're trying to do is fill in gaps and trying to supplement the need. And because of a study that was done with Huggies, they looked at diaper need, maternal stress and depression, and what they found was that 12 more diapers a week helped mothers and parents feel less stress and anxiety. And so we are trying to fill that gap of 12 diapers a week by providing 50 diapers per child per month.
She just rolls that off, like, no. 50 diapers per child per month. What?
I wish we could do more, but
I can't. Could you behind your wildest imaginings think this?
Never. I started this out on my kitchen table. In my first year, I thought, oh, I'll do 50,000 diapers the first year, and I'll do it part-time. And then the first year we did 209,000.
Definitely take pictures of
it. And it just grew really quickly. But I think that says a lot about our community. And that I did not come up with all these diapers by myself. And I didn't wrap them all by myself. It took a whole community working together to make this happen.
A whole community to make it happen. Well, we are being surrounded by a whole community right now. Ladies and gentlemen, if you hear us in the background, there are kids. I'd say there are about third graders. There might be about 80 of them surrounding the studio, waving in. They must be on a tour with their teachers. Calm. And wow, they're so calm. I'm wondering what's their secret. But let's get back to that track, by the way. We were talking about no. There's no dates of expiration on diapers. How could this? Tell me about this. Like, this is a big, significant issue, so that stores really don't have to, oh my goodness, we have to give this away because if not, they'll expire. So their donations are true donations.
They really are. So when you have food, you get a lot of food donated from stores. But because it's expired or they need to get it out of the store. But typically diapers can stay, have a very long, long shelf life. We have gotten donations of diapers that were 20 years old,
really?
That were still perfectly fine, but we kept those just because the packaging was so unique.
And it's part of the vintage archive.
Right, exactly.
But I know we have one on more track, but I'm curious about this. You said, I never imagined sitting at my kitchen table. What's the story behind the kitchen table?
So we were lucky enough to have a one-day-old baby come to us in foster care. He's now 4 years old, and we've adopted him, but he came to us very sick and was in and out of the hospital for about 3 to 5 times a month. And I had known and heard about diaper need, but it didn't really hit home until I spent time with him and realized that we were changing his diaper 15 to 20 times a day, and he was still very sick with severe diaper rashes that would put him in the hospital on IVs. And I had had the great pleasure of meeting his birth mother, who I knew could not afford what we were providing, and even what we were providing was not enough. And I literally became obsessed with the idea that mothers and parents could not afford the most basic of need, as something as simple as a diaper. So I came home from the hospital and I said to my husband, I think I'm going to start a diaper bank. And at the time we had 2 other children and our youngest, and who was sick. And he said, okay. And so we sat down at our kitchen table and we looked at our budget and we figured out a way to make it work.
You figured out a way to make it work. Well, let's listen to one last track. And in this case, it's a young voice. My assistant, Emma, our daughter, came with us. She's very interested in journalism. So let's listen to what her question was all about.
How do you disperse all the diapers that are being packaged initially?
So we get orders in from our programs that we distribute through. So we distribute through organizations working with families living in poverty. Mm-hmm. And they order the what they need on Mondays. That gives us the week to get the orders together. And then we package them up and prepare big IKEA bags that go out into the community, and then all the programs on Thursday come and pick them up. So some will pick up a bag or two, some will pick up 50 bags. It just depends on the needs of their organization.
Okay, great. And you also have a bunch of students in here. How do you have programs for volunteers to sign up, or how do you sign up?
So we have open drop-in times every single week from Monday to Thursday, 10 to 3. Anyone can stop in and wrap diapers, or you can set up a time for your group to come on a weekend or an evening, just depending. But we handle welcome about 100 volunteers a month.
150 volunteers a month? So how does this work? I mean, this is that opening scene, that sound of opening doors. You're really rocking this project here.
I think I'm really the lucky one because I get to witness the generosity of this community every day. And people come on their lunch break to wrap diapers. They come on weekends. They come on evenings. And they simply want to help provide comfort for babies in our community. And they come with helping hands and loving hearts. And I witness that every day. And it's so powerful.
We did too. We have pictures, listener. I'll be posting that on Facebook. But we saw those smiles light up as soon as we were starting to count and unopen and then wrap. This whole process is very well defined. So what I'd like to do is this. When we come back, we are keeping Michelle in studio, and we're going to turn our conversation to how much time is involved in this adventure of hers, a little bit more about the history, about the relationship with volunteers, and then let's talk a little bit about why the need is there to begin with. So stay tuned and look forward to having you join us.
WCOM, your all-volunteer community radio station in Carrboro, needs your support. Do you have an idea for a radio show? How about an interest in engineering or a computer background? Are you interested in fundraising or just meeting a group of wonderful people? Please consider a donation of time or money to support this gem of the community. To find out more, please visit our website, WCOMFM.org. To make a financial contribution, sponsor your favorite show, or help support our many featured news and information programs, click the PayPal donate button at the top of our main page. Again, please visit our website, WCOMFM.org, and thanks for listening to your community radio station.
Welcome back to Courage Cocktail Radio Show. I'm your host, Leanne McClymont. I'm so happy you could join us this afternoon. In case you missed the first half of the program, we all went on a tour, an audio tour of the North Carolina Diaper Bank. We had as our traveling guide the founder and CEO, Michelle Old, whom I have persuaded to join us live in studio today. The first half of the show, we talked a lot about, or learned a little bit about the context, the actual what happens when you volunteer on site, what is the space about, what is all the mechanics. It's a lot of granular level detail. The second half, I'd like us to start learning a little bit more about why we do have a diaper need, and what is it about diaper banks that are important in the nation? There are obviously national diaper banks, and we'd like to pick your brain, Michelle, if we could. So let's start with this simple question. Why do we need a diaper bank?
One in three families in our community experience diaper need. And we, there's no assistance for diapers. WIC and food stamps do not cover them. And diapers can cost up to $100 a month per child. Mm-hmm. So if you have an infant and a toddler in diapers, that could be up to $200 a month that you are spending on providing a basic need for your baby. We have seen families that are making tough choices between buying food or buying diapers. And I will tell you, every single time, diapers are going to lose out in that fight when it talks about feeding your children. And so, with no assistance, there's not a lot of places that families can turn to. We did a study through UNC Greensboro that looked at all of our diaper recipients and the programs that distribute diapers. And what they found were that over 78% of those families were working families.
78% were working families.
Working one to two jobs, and they still were struggling to buy the basic needs for their family. We get calls all the time from teachers in our communities that cannot afford diapers. We get calls from military families that we have one spouse protecting our country, and we have another one at home on WIC and food stamps and still cannot afford diapers. And so diaper need is it's pretty extensive across the country.
So one of the mentions in our conversations in the earlier tracks were that in Huggies research, and the research which you participated in, was this idea that you can't fulfill all the needs, but by taking a certain fraction of the needs away off the shoulders of a working family struggling, that it's made a huge impact. Could you repeat some of that fact?
Yeah, well, through our study with UNC Greensboro, and we had a team of researchers really looking at diaper need and Durham and Orange County, and they found that over 62% said that getting diapers helped them go to work.
It's that simple. Yeah. Help them go to work.
Right, because you have to have diapers to take to your daycare center to go to work. And so it was helping them go to work. It was allowing them to then pay a bill rather than buy diapers. It was allowing them to take their children to school because you have to have diapers to go to a daycare center. So it was allowing them to do things that they needed to do to care for their families because we were just filling a little bit of gap that they were experiencing.
But it turns out that gap is a critical element in their welfare and the family's well-being. But there was another story you told us on site, and that is these families become better integrated into community support services.
That's right.
And what's the outcome of all of that?
Yeah, when I started this, I didn't consider how diapers could actually be used as a gateway to other services, but that is very much the case. So we have a pretty strict rule that programs cannot create a barrier between babies and diapers, meaning they can't require a family to do something to get the diapers that we provide, but they can use the diapers as an incentive. So we have a home visiting program that deters child abuse. After so many visits, though, the families would not be around, would miss the visit. But now the social workers come with diapers in hand. And not only have their visits increased, but families are staying in the program longer than they ever have in the history of the program. Mm-hmm. We provide diapers to a clinic in the community that would see a low turnout for immunizations for their children. Now they call them up and they say, your child's up for vaccines and we have diapers. Do you want to stop by? They are actually seeing their immunizations increase. So we are really seeing that the need for diapers is so great that families are able to get connected in other ways with programs that can help them with other needs that they may have. If they're struggling to buy diapers, they're probably struggling to buy food. If they're struggling to buy diapers, they probably can't afford a car seat or a crib. And so that is why it's very important to us to have our distribution through programs that can help them in other ways.
We had a soundtrack of what happens next when Emma was asking you, well, what's the next step? We've wrapped and packaged and counted. And then you said that they go to very specific, they place orders on Monday and are distributed on Thursday.
That's right.
What are these places like that they are distributed to? Is it a pediatrician's office?
Some of our programs are, we have a homeless shelter, Urban Ministries Durham, Welcome Baby, Duke Clinic, Healthy Families Durham. Mm-hmm. We're connected to 15 different programs in Durham and Orange County alone, about 12 community programs in the Greater Triad, and in the Lower Cape Fear, we're distributing to about 5 different programs. And that's the only way we distribute diapers is through organizations working with families living in poverty. We do not give directly to families because, again, we really feel that they need to be connected to these programs that are doing amazing work with families in poverty. And we really look at ourselves as a support program for these organizations.
I can see that and having that crystal clear. But in those organizations, too, one of the palettes I noticed was products for adult incontinence products.
That's right.
Let's talk a little bit about that. Now, everyone, you thought I've covered all kinds of topics. Leanne, how can you go into all kinds of pockets? But I think this is a very important topic.
It is. We didn't originally start out to provide adult incontinence supplies, but then we started to get the phone calls of elders in our community that really needed extra support. We had a lot of veterans, so we had the VA calling us saying, well, I have families that really need help. Mm-hmm. And so it's something that we just took on, and it has been pretty successful. We distribute them currently through the Durham Senior Center, and then we work with other programs like the VA Center to get them diapers when there's an emergency.
Now, is there Orange County access point as well?
There are. So we have an open... We have two programs. It's considered an output program,
okay,
which is where we're not really going to capture any outcomes.
Of course.
We just, that is fulfilling a basic human need in the community. Anybody can go to these programs and get diapers that they need. And the one in Orange County is the Compass Center.
I see.
And then we have what we consider closed. So you have to be part of that program to get the diapers.
Okay.
And those are programs that are really doing the intense visits with families living in poverty and trying to help them through. And so we also support Orange County Health Department with that.
One of the things that we're learning so much about this is that the needs are absolutely critical. But the mechanism that you've developed, the way you've encouraged and this enthusiastic and well-organized machine is really what we keep on seeing again and again play out. Well, we need this, and Michelle's machine over there is working. By the way, we have more volunteers. So I can't imagine a million diapers being distributed, perhaps over that.
I can't either.
So you're covering a lot of these very important and very personal objects and material needs of families. What have you learned from your volunteers?
I think I touched on this a little bit before, but it's important for me to say again that we have an incredibly generous community. When we were robbed, literally 16,000 diapers were taken, and I knew where every single one of those diapers came from. And we then turned around, and within 3 days, we had 130,000 diapers donated to us.
So let's do the math. you were ripped off. You had a theft for 16,000 diapers.
That's right.
And that was when?
That was 2 years ago.
2 years ago. And within 3 days, you had how many?
130,000 diapers were donated to us.
Almost 10 times the amount.
That's right. But those were all out into the community by the end of summer. So it happened in May, and then we had them out on babies' bottoms by the end of summer. So when you're distributing, at that time, 30,000 diapers a month, it didn't last long.
Yes.
But it... it just shows you how generous our community is. And I literally wrote a little press release thinking I would get a little drive together after the theft. And it was truly inspiring, the response we got. And that continues. People come in all the time just willing to help out and give. And it is incredible.
So let's focus now on... where can our community of listeners, our local listener, make a donation? Buy two packages of those diapers or whatever else you may need. So where can we drop them off? You have some sites.
We do. We have hotspot locations all across Durham and Orange County. They're local businesses. So to name a few, the Red Hen, Katie Beth's Learning Garden. We have them at Notasium and Bull City Craft. So you can go to our website and look up those hotspots. And if one's nearby, we take donations there of diapers, opened or closed packages, and feminine hygiene products.
So this might be great if you had your grandkids visiting you and you had a few parts left over.
That's
what
right.
A great idea to
we'll
just
put
drop
them to good
them.
Use. Yeah.
Now, let's review that website one more time. What is it again?
www.ncdiaperbank.org.
So it's www.ncdiaperbank.org. And that way we can get our listener to go out there, visit your hotspot, say, oh, that one's really close by to me.
That's right.
So one of our advantages of creating our Kirch Cocktail Radio Show is that we pour it into a podcast, and that podcast gets broadcast to other places, many of which are far beyond the Carolina Blue. So I'm curious, can you give us some insight for that listener in Pittsburgh or the listener out in California who is kind of saying, this is a great idea. I wonder what my community is doing. How did they learn more?
I would encourage them to check out the National Diaper Bank Network, because they really have done amazing work in kind of combining all the diaper banks, diaper pantries, diaper programs across the country that are doing this work. And they've got incredible information on where you can find a local diaper bank or program or how you can start your own. And so there's a ton of resources with the National Diaper Bank Network, and I would highly encourage someone to check them out.
When you think about starting your own, you're smiling. I imagine that you might have had you bargained a little bit. What did you get? Bite off more than you could chew? Hardly. I think you can.
Yeah, it wasn't what I had imagined, but I'm so glad it wasn't, because I am truly in love with what has become of the work we're doing. It's inspiring every day to see everyone come together to help babies and mothers and elderly in our community.
So we think about the organization, we think about the diaper, the donations of the diapers and other products that are out there that our community needs. But at the same time, what surprised me was your ability to reach into the universities here in the state of North Carolina. You mentioned that Wake Forest is now, Wake Forest, for the not local listener, is based in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. It's in the Triad Cities, meaning it's west, northwest, I don't know, about 2 hours from here.
Mm-hmm.
How did you do that? How does that work?
Well, that took the generosity of Melissa Harris Perry to recognize the need and how we were addressing it and then wanting to support us. And she came to me and she said, what do you need? And we said, space. That if we're going to be effective in this community, we have to have a space to wrap and distribute diapers from. And then she made that possible. She talked to the university and they graciously donated a space to us. So it's a pretty powerful partnership.
So it's as though we now have, you're in replication processes, so to speak. You have space out in Winston-Salem, based at Wake Forest. You have these volunteers from universities around here and students, and I know you mentioned little kids can do this too.
That's right, all ages.
But I'm curious about the whole, what's going down in Fayetteville? What's that operation looking like now?
So we're not distributing to Fayetteville okay. in Wilmington.
In Wilmington,
yes.
Excuse me.
No.
Okay.
And so that is very new, but it's growing rather quickly. So our first space that we were in, we've outgrown, and we're moving into a bigger space in the next 2 weeks.
You're moving into new space in 2 weeks, and you're in a radio station.
What's interesting about that is we felt very strongly that when we opened our doors in the Lower Cape Fear, that we opened the doors with very little diapers.
Hmm.
Because we wanted the community to rally around that issue just like they have here in Durham. And if we came into town full of diapers, the community would not get as invested as they are here. And so what's amazing that's happened in the Lower Cape Fear is they have rallied around them, and they have been able to support 5 different programs in that area fully from the donations of that community. So and that is how we hope to move across the state, is to build up these communities of support throughout the state and hopefully replicate a very successful model of outcome-based diaper distribution in every county in North Carolina.
What about the research that you think is going on? Is there more research and demonstration processes going out there that you may know about?
Well, every single program that we have internally, we have a research component to.
Tell me about that.
We teamed up with a group of researchers from UNC Greensboro that now look at all of our programs with a researcher's eye. We just recently received a grant from Duke University to provide potty training classes. So we will provide the class, transportation to the class, a potty and a book and pull-ups when they attend the class, and we will have an English and Spanish. And we'll be doing that this spring, and we also have a research component available for that. So we will actually know at the end of that program, is it viable? Did it do what we hoped it would do, which is to train and teach parents when their children are ready for potty training, not just to potty train because they so need them to get out of diapers because they're struggling to buy diapers. What are the signs that your child is ready? And so we'll take a look at that research and tweak it if we need to, and hopefully replicate that training to our other branches. So it's really important part of our work to make sure that we're looking at, is it something that is working, and does it work well, and is it making a difference? And if not, we need to look at something else.
I think one of the things I listened to in learning about your experiences and actually visiting your site is you've got this very startup kind of burn in your stomach, the startup feeling of, wait a minute, let's try this, let's go there, what works? And then when it doesn't work, it's okay, let's pivot, let's do something else.
That's right.
I mean, I meet these people doing stuff in technology, doing stuff in all kinds of business sectors. And when I met you and was listening to the cadence, the sense of execution, the sense of dreaming, the sense of measurement, I'm like, I'm still talking to this amazing social startup entrepreneur person. And that's a significant observation, because that means that we think of startups all the time as people making businesses better, but maybe that culture is, as we're witnessing, being distributed among the not-for-profits, making things flourish more successfully, more efficiently.
That's right.
I think the way I've been trained now is, you know, get to failure fast and then move on.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
Fail fast and then do something new. And I think about the advantage for all of our community to rally around what it is you're doing, and the communities across the North Carolina state. Can you give us some updates about what's going on that's working in other states that you might think of trying? Or is it your group now that's kind of the foot soldier out there that's leading the way in new ideas and products?
Oh, there are some incredible programs that I'm constantly stalking across the country. I say that when I first got the idea of a diaper bank, I literally was in full stalking mode. I was going on every single website I could find, every Facebook page. And I will have to say that the Diaper Bank of North Carolina is a part of about 50 diaper banks that I really loved and kind of pulled. I like what they did here and I like what they do here. And I kind of pulled it all together. But there's also a part of the diaper bank that had to find its own way. And that is what's going to work best for our community. So what I mean by that is what works in Durham and Orange County isn't necessarily going to work in Wake Forest or in the Lower Cape Fear. And currently, we're the only statewide diaper bank model that's out there. But I think it's a good model because it allows us to share resources, share information, to help each other out when we need to. And it's working well for us, but we do realize that we have to figure out what works in the Lower Cape Fear because it's not exactly what's going to work here in Durham, and we have to kind of figure that out as we go.
And for our non-local listener, the Lower Cape Fear is Eastern Carolina.
Wilmington. Basically.
And so it's a little bit more rural, isn't
it? That's exactly right. So they don't have a lot of the programs that we can distribute through. So what we had to do is find one or two strong programs to make those the central place where families can go and get diapers, and that's how we distribute the diapers. We're lucky here in the Triangle because we have a lot of amazing programs that we can support and distribute diapers through. It's just not the case in the Lower Cape Fear.
Well, now they have a reason to continue to thrive and build and serve their community. And you've given us a reason, of course, to help. And we're so grateful and privileged that you gave us the opportunity to visit you on site.
Well, thank you for coming.
And we're going to shout out that website again. It's www.northcarolinancdiaperbank.org. And on that website, it tells you where hotspots are.
That's
to
right.
Drop off donations.
How you can organize a drive.
How you can organize a drive. Forget about selling cookies. Organize the drive.
That's right.
And most importantly, gives you some pictures of our delightful guest. We'll have more pictures, of course, on our on our Facebook page. I hope that you and I get to talk later on in the year. I'm thinking about 6 months out when you've found your pathway through Wilmington. We may even make an on-site tour there. Are you up for that?
I would be honored.
So, listener, I want to thank you for joining us today. Michelle, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much.
And we are going to queue up some more shows coming down. Last week, we were in tornado warning area, so we had to reschedule our guest. She's joining us on March 23rd. And that guest is Ricky Woolman. Ricky is well known for her company called the Written Word Media. She is a local Carrboro business startup called Free Booksy. It's a fascinating story. She's now working out over in Durham, has been very successful. I look forward to listening to her voice and brewing Courage Cocktail with you. We also want to thank our sponsors and underwriters. We are a member and generous sponsorship from the North Carolina State University, of which Michelle is an alum. Hey,
go Wolfpack.
When she heard that, she's like, Leanne, I'm into this show. And we were sponsored by that group with the AWE, the Advancement for Women Entrepreneurs. And I have to tell you, entrepreneurship includes social entrepreneurship, as you all have witnessed today. So I thank you for joining us today. I also want to shout out, we bring fresh medicine to vexing problems. You bring the lunch, and I'll bring the Courage Cocktail. I look forward to being with you next week. Thank you.